Today's daf is Chulin daf Kufyur, and we are 10 lines from the bottom of daf Kuftes Amid Beis. So the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Kuftes Amid Aleph turned its attention to another subcategory within the sugya of Basav Chalov, and that is the sugya of Khal. So Khal is the udder of the animal. It's the part of the animal that has milk. When you milk an animal, you're milking the udder of the animal. And the udder poses a particular challenge as it relates to kashrus, specifically basav chalav. And that is because the udder is meat. It has in it milk. Thus, the question is it okay to eat the khal of an animal, or is it not okay to eat the khal of an animal? The Mishnah said on the bottom of Daf Kuftes Amid Aleph, HaKchal Koyroi U'moitzias Chalavoi, that if you want to eat the khal, what you have to do is you have to tear it open first, remove the milk, and then afterwards eat it. Says the Mishnah, Loi Koroi, let's say you did not tear open the khal and remove the milk, Einei Oiver Olav, you're not going to be over anything. Now, the Lashon of the Mishnah is very sasam. What does Einei Oiver Olav mean? Does it mean it's mutter? Does it mean Einei Oiver Olav? There's no Malkus, for example, but at the same time, it's going to be Osir. And the Gemara brought two Lishonos in a Memra that Rav Zeira said in the name of Rab. The first Lishon was Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rab. It was the first lines on Daf Kuftes Amid Beis, Einei Oiver Olav Mutter. That it's mutter, the katchila even, to eat the khal despite the fact that you didn't tear it open. So, I mean, you're supposed to tear it open. But in the event that you cooked it or you roasted it without actually tearing it open, that lach is, it's going to be mutter to eat the katchila. The ikad amrin, then the Gemara brought another lishna, what Reb Zeira said in the name of Rab, that ein yoyver olav aser, that ein yoyver olav just means on the da'iraisa level, but at the same time, if you cooked or roasted the khal without tearing it open, the halach is, it's going to be aser to eat. And in the hemshuch of Shabbos's daf, the Gemara said, Tanya kavase de lishna kama, the Gemara, the braisa that supported the first lishna of the Gemara, and that is khal she bishloi b'chalavai mutter. That if you cooked the khal or roasted the khal without tearing it open, the halach is, it's going to be mutter l'katchila. So it sounds like even though there's an idea of khal, you're supposed to tear it open because of the chalav that's inside the khal, but this is only on a real katchila level, stating that if you didn't tear it open and you cooked it, it's going to be okay. And the truth is, at first glance, it's sarach bir. Why is it okay? The khal is basar. The chalav that's inside the khal is chalav. It says in the Torah, leisavashel gedibah chalavim. You're not allowed to cook basar and chalav together. If you cook basar and chalav together, derech bishul asar Torah, you're not allowed to eat the basar and chalav. So why is it okay to go now and eat the khal if it was cooked together with its chalav? The short answer is because there's a halacha that even though basav a chalav is asar, but chalav of a behema shchuta is okay. The Torah says, Leisavashel gediba chalev imoy, and the Gemara darshins, we're going to see it in the coming dafin, that the only time it's asar, basav a chalav medei raisa, is if the chalav came from an animal that's royally oisem, from a live animal. So if you milk a live animal, you cook that milk together with meat, that's basav a chalav medei raisa. If the animal, however, is in a state now where it can't be a mother anymore, it's dead, even if it had a kasha shchita, what's called chalav mesa or chalav shchuta, that chalav is not asam edei raisa. Chal is always going to be chalav shchuta. You want to eat chal, not eating eva menachai. You're eating chal of a behema shchuta. So even though there's chalav inside the chal, that chalav is always going to be chalav shchuta, which is on the outside looking in as it relates to the halachos of basav chalav. So whenever we're discussing chal, we're anyways not handling basav chalav edei raisa, because the chalav by definition is chalav shchuta, which means that it's not subject to the laws of basav chalav medei raisa. Now, the truth is that chalav shchuta, even though it's not asam medei raisa, it is asam medei rabbana. So from a rabbana standpoint, it should be asar. Stating that, the chachamim said that when is chalav shchuta asar medei rabbanan? That's if you take the chalav and you mix it together with the basar and you cook it. That's the time that the chachamim will geyser even on chalav shchuta. But that's not what's happening with chal. Chal is the milk that was inside the udder of the animal when you shechted it. You're not taking chalav shchuta and now pouring it into your kedera. That's your tipas. No, what you have over here is something that naturally had the milk inside. The chalav shchuta never left the chal. al cholov kazeh, the chachamim never made the gezerah, and it's for that reason we're even having this conversation. So again, chal is a discussion. It's a mishnah. The gemara tu l'shoynes in Rav. It's known from the more as being one of the more difficult sugyas in the sugya of basa v'cholov. But you know the muschurishin as it relates for dafyomi purposes. I mean, what's the shaila with chal? Is basa in the cholov? The Torah says because the cholov is anyways cholov shkuta, and even though cholov shkuta is asim in the rabbanon, that's only cholov shkuta that departed the animal. But this is cholov that never left the animal, it's still inside the other, thus b'kehai gavna, it could be, it would be different. What the Gemara seemed to say, the takeaway of the second half of yesterday's daf, is that there's two l'shoynes in what Rav held as it relates to chal, tanya kavose delishna kama, which seems to be that as long as you cook it or roast it, in today's daf there'll be nuances between bishul and tzli, ayim b'rishoynim, that's beyond the scope of what we do, but for now, if you roast it for sure, and maybe even if you cook it, that would be enough to say that even if you didn't tear it open, even though the chalav is still inside, and such a chal of shkuta, chal never made a gzeira, it's going to be okay to eat it like katchila. Either way, on that note, the Gemara begins with a classic Gemara. Unrelay Yalta, the Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's wife's name was Yalta. And Yalta told Rav Nachman Mechti, called the Asr Rahman Sharlan Kavasi. Everything that the Torah said is Asr. The Torah was also matter. In other words, Asr Lan Dama Sharlan Kavti. He's not allowed to eat blood. But at the same time, you're allowed to eat liver. We're going to see in tomorrow's daf. Tomorrow's daf is going to be hashtag chop liver. That's really the topic of tomorrow's daf. It's all about liver from a kashrus standpoint. How you kasher liver, how you prepare it, how you salt it. And the reason is because the liver is saturated in that. Now, at the end of the day, you're allowed to eat liver. So being that you're allowed to eat liver, Yalta told Rav Nachman, even though the Torah said you're not allowed to eat blood, but if you want to be toyem a tam dam, you could eat liver. Liver has in it a tam dam. Nida dam toyer. The Torah said that dam nidah zaser, but at the same time, there is a way where a person can experience ba'ifen heter dam nidah, so to speak, and that is dam toyer. Rashi says, what does dam toyer mean? Either it means dam psulim, or it means that a yoledes, after she has a baby, so she's a nidah for a certain period of time, midday raisa, we don't have these halachas anymore, but midday raisa, after 1 week or 2 weeks, depending if it's a boy or a girl, all the dam that she sees is not dam nidah anymore, it's dam toyer. So it's like dam nidah, but it's really mutter. Chelev behema, the Torah said chelev behema is asa, chelev chai is mutter. Chazer, the Torah said that a chazer is asa, right? You can't eat chazer, but if somebody wants to know what a chazer tastes like, this is the part of the Gemara that's famous. Moicha de shibuta, eat the mayach, eat the brain of the shibuta. Rashi says that's a fish, and this shibuta's mayach tastes like chazer. Gerusa, which is a non-kosher bird. Lishna de kavra, you can taste it, you can eat the kosher bird. Eishas ish, Terry said eishas ish is asr, but grusha b'chayibayla, that's mutter, and that's a little bit of eishas ish. Eishas ach, the Torah said is asr, yavama is mutter. Kutis, you're not allowed to marry a non-Jewish woman, but this is the parish of Yefas Toyer. Yefas Toyer is dafka talking about a non-kosher woman. Said, Yalta to Rav Nachman. So I understand, I see a theme here. That even though the Torah said a lot of things are awesome, but everything that the Torah said is awesome, if you want, you can find it with a hechsher. You can find it with a badatz hashkach, a mahadrim and a mahadrim. So your question was, Be'ina l'meichel b'sur v'chalva, I want to eat basur v'chalav. Find me, where can I find basur v'chalav that's going to be kosher? Amal Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, L'tabachiz v'kulo kachli, go roast for my wife the kal, because by roasting the kal, there's cholov inside of it. That's how you're going to be able to taste your basal fate tomorrow. Could you go to katchila and just roast kal? But now the Mishnah says koiroi. Doesn't the Mishnah say that you have to tear it open first? So Rav Nachman said ahu l'kdeira. That's talking about if you're going to cook it. I didn't say cook it, I said roast it. Freit the Gemara v'aktani shebishli in l'katchila loy. There's a brice, one of the brices that the Gemara brought earlier on the Yom, it said that it's only okay b'dieved to be mevashalit, and Rashi speaks that on top of Kufyur Amad Alf, that this bishli doesn't mean cooking, it means roasting. So it sounds like that even roasting is only okay b'dieved. The Gemara says, nahu adin dafiru l'katchila, really l'katchila you should be able to roast. If I did, the Gemara l'misni sefer keva shebishlo, b'chalava asura, dafiru d'yeved nami loy. That same brice again, that was only yesterday's daf. Mentioned that the cholov that's found in the cave in the stomach of the animal, that cholov is aser, and there even if you cook it b'dieved, it's still not okay. So that's why the Resha mentioned shabishah b'dieved as well. But really, Rav Nachman held that it's not okay l'katchila to cook the chal. But it is okay to roast the chal. Thus, you see a chilek between bishul and sli, as we mentioned in the intro, as it relates to chal. But Rav Nachman told his wife Yaltas, you want to know what basav v'chalav tastes like? There's a way to be toyim basav v'chalav, even when you can't eat a cheeseburger, but you can eat kat chal. And the chal has dam inside of it, and it's okay to roast it likat chila, like the first lishna of Rav on the Kuftes on the Beis on the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara had a tanya kavase, the lishna kama the Rav. And again, this is all based on what we spoke out of the intro.
that even though the Kral has it at Chalav, it's Chalav Shchuta, and on such a Chalav Shchuta, the Chacham never went ahead and made Exeris. I'm going to come back to this Gemara, but first, the Gemara is going to continue to discuss Rav's Halachas of Chal. So we said, Rav, there were two Lashonos what Rav said. The first Lashonah was that Rav said, it's okay l'katchila to eat the Kral. Mishnah says, tear it open, but if you didn't tear it, you could eat it, it's fine. Lishnah Basra, the second Lishnah in Rav was, is that it's not okay. You're supposed to go ahead and tear it up. And there was a Tanya Kavas into the Lishnah Kama. So the Gemara is going to struggle now to understand what was Pshat in the second Lishnah. The second version was Rav Zeira had heard in the name of Rav that it's not okay to go ahead and eat a roasted chal or a cooked chal. L'chayra, there's a brisa that says before that it is okay. So it says the Gemara, he saw the Rabbi Lazar, where Rabbi Lazar went from Babel to Haj, he saw Ashkechel Ziri, he met Ziri Amale, so he told him, Ikatana das Nayel Rav Chal. I mean, I'm wondering, where did Rav get this from? The way Rav Zeira had it in the second Lishnah, that Chal is Aser. I mean, it's a mistake, because it's connected to brisa. But this mistake must have come from somewhere. So did anybody ever tell Rav something that may have misled him? So the Gemara says, Achvele Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. He says, Iri told Rabbi Lazar, go talk to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Amalei, he went to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, and he says, tell me, do you know where Rav got this from? Amalei, he told him, Ani loy shen yisi like Chal kolikar. I never told Rav anything about Chal. But I do know the rest of the story. What happened was Rav Bika Matzah, the God of our gather. Rav came to a place, he saw an open field, and he felt that you have to put up a fence to protect it. And he went ahead and he built the fence. What is this? The Rav Ikla Litatlofush. Rav once came to Tatlofush. That was a city. Shamalai Yitzah, he overhears, there was a woman talking. The Kamar Lechavirta, she tells her friend, Riva de Bistra, tell me, you know, I'm looking for a recipe. I have a quarter pound of chicken and a basar, and I want to put milk inside of it. How much milk am I supposed to put in the recipe? Like what, the people in Tatlofish, they're such amiratsim, they don't even know that basav chalav is asr. So the Gemara says, he remained there, and he taught them the laws of basav chalav. And not only did he teach them the laws of basav chalav, he even went ahead and told them that chal is going to be asr. I mean, Rav really held that chal is mutter. He knew the first lish, he knew the tanya kavasi, the lishna kama, he knew that chal is mutter, the katkhil. So what's pshat is this Messiah Rav Zeira heard a Lishna Basra that Rav said it's awesome. This was the rest of the story Yitzchak Bar Avdimi told him. It was a psak hayrah for a kehila that were being very lax in the laws of Basav Chalav, and he felt he had to be mechazik them, and the way he was going to be mechazik them was going ahead and being so machmer in the laws of Basav Chalav that even chal is going to be awesome. So for a functioning kehila, it's okay to have chal. But he felt for them, this was important, that's why he told me. Where it says Rav Kahana Masach, this, the aforementioned was Rav Kahana's version of what's the beer in Rav's Lishna Basra, who said Chal is also, if there's a brisa that says it's multiple. Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi had a different version. He said, I know Chal shal menika shal nisila. Rabbi Yitzchak Dimi. So again, Rabbi Lazar comes to Eretz Yisrael, he meets Zairi, he says, do you have any information about why there may be this Messiah that Rav said Chal is Aser? So he tells him, go speak to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. In the first version, Yitzchak Bar Avdimi told him that Rav issued this psak for a kehila that was very lax in Basav HaKalav. In the second version, Yitzchak Bar Avdimi told him, I know Chal shal menika shal nisila. I was talking about I was the one who told Rav the halacha. So what you heard Rav say, he actually heard from me. And the halacha was talking about the chal of an animal that's nursing. And being that the animal's nursing, so there's a lot of milk. So being that it's a lot of milk, it's that type of chal that's going to be awesome. And I told it to Rav Chia. And Rav Chia, he said, was the one who told it to Rav. Rav Chia was a big charif, Rashi says, and thought for sure Rav would understand on his own. He didn't think he had to explain. He thought Rav would understand on his own that the only time chal is awesome is the chal of Minika. And as a result, all this confusion happened. But again, Rav for sure only said one thing. He said that Chal is mutter, like the brisa that supported Rav. Either is this Ikud Amri that Rav Zeira heard in the name of Rav that Chal is aser. One of two things happened. Either it was a special psak that he gave for a specific kehila, or what happened was he was talking about the Chal of a Menekes, and Rav didn't fully understand it when he heard it from Chia, who heard it from Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Just one interesting thing before we go weiter. So Rav Bika Matzah V'Gadaba. According to the first version, Rav comes to this kehila called Tatlafush, and he sees that they're being very makel in the laws of Basav HaChalav, and he went ahead and he was mezarez them. So I saw in the Sha'arim Mitzionim Ba'alacha from Shlomo Zalman Braun, so he brings from the Igeris of Rav Shri Ragoyim. So Rav Shri Ragoyim was one of the Goyim. And a lot of history that we have, a lot of our Jewish history,
comes from Rav Shri Ragoin. He wrote a letter, and there's a lot of fascinating history about the Tanoim and the Amiraim that we know from the letter of Rav Shri Ragoin. So one of the things he brings over there is the Rav Ozav es Shmuel ben Hardoi, Shayyim Makam Torah. Rav, right, you have Rav Shmuel Damin Shavayah, they're always talking and learning, they're always arguing. So Rav used to live together with Shmuel ben Hardoi. Shmuel was the Rav ben Hardoi, and Rav lived together with Shmuel. The Hisrachik Lemakim Shalayhaya Batayra. And then Rav decided one day, the wine line in the Hardoi, Nardo, there's so much Torah in Nardo anyways. They have Shmuel. They don't need me. So he decided that he's going to go to a place where there was no Torah. V'hi Surah. And he went to Surah, and he crossed Masa Mechassi, which has another name. It also refers to as Masa Mechassi. V'hoyosham b'neim. And Rav Shri Ragoin is right. He's just telling the story of Rav. So he goes out to do Kiruv. And he said he found Kehilah Shafilu Issa Basa V'chalav Layado. They didn't even know the laws of Basa V'chalav. This is the rest of the story. The city of Tatlofosh. V'omar Rav. Rav said, Eshev kan achetar b'toyr b'makam hazeh. V'zeh kamay oisei maisa shemefurish Perikal Abasar, Rav Bika Matzav Agadav Ageder, Ukishbalu Tatov Ashlidim Oisav Ahayr LaMisr Chalz. It's amazing. Rav actually had this passion. He felt he was in a Hardah, he was in a Makam Torah, any Dar El Makam Torah, and then he decided that he's going to go out, and he decides to go to Kiruv. He goes to Surah at the time when Rav went. You know, today Surah, we think of Surah and Pumpadis and Hardah. It's synonymous. It's synonymous with a Makam Torah. That's because of the influence. Like when the Chazon Ish went to Bnei Brak, there was nothing in Bnei Brak. Chazon Ish created Bnei Brak. So that's what happened. The point is that he went to Surah, he went to Masa Mechassi, and he was the one that brought Torah there. But at the time that Rav settled there, there was so little there that they didn't know the laws of the Masa Mechassi. I thought it's a fascinating idea that Rav, you never think of Rav as being a Makariv. I mean, you think of Rav as giving, you know, the top shir and the best yeshiva. But Rav goes to a city like Surah, a city like Masa, they don't even know the law. He's teaching them the laws of Basa V'chal. It's unbelievable. Either way, just a shtickle of hergish. Regardless, Dr. Gemara Vayit Rav and Rav and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef Iklu Lebei Rav Papi. Rav and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef once came to the city of Rav Papi. Aisu Lekamayot Tavshil Odechal. So Rav and Rabbi Yitzchak, these two gedolim, they're invited in and they sit down in the city where Rav Papi is the Rav, and they feed them Tavshil Odechal, food that was made out of Chal. Yitzchak Bar Yosef Achal. Yitzchak Bar Yosef ate. Rav and Lo Yachal. Rav didn't want to eat. He didn't want to eat Chal. Amar Abaya. So Abaya said, Rav and Techala. Ravin apparently had lost his children during his lifetime. So Abaye referred to Ravin as Tchala, someone who lost his children. Amai lo yachal. He says, why aren't you eating? He said, Mechti, the visit to Rapapi. You know, who was serving him food? Rapapi's Rebbetzin. She was the balabusta in the house. He said, Barti Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Avoy. She's Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha's daughter. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Mardov Dahav. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha is the, everyone knows what a tzaddik he was. He loved the Shmila Mibay Nashal Yav Avda. Had she not seen this in her mother's house, in her father's house growing up, she would never serve it to you. So he said Rav, Abaye was very upset at Ravan. He says, I don't understand. You go to the Gadol Adar's house, it's not kosher enough? He says, this is Rav Yitzchak Nafcha's daughter who's serving you chal, and you think chal's not kosher? If she's serving to you, it must be kosher, says the Gemara, stating that despite the fact that Abaye was upset that Ravan wouldn't eat the chal, and we came out Tanya Kavasi the Lishnakama, and even Rav Nachman told Yalta she could eat the chal, stating that not everywhere in Klal Yisrael did they eat Klal. Besurah loy achli. In Surah, the meaning was not to eat Klal. Be Pumpadisa, however, achli. In Pumpadisa, they did eat Klali. Rami Bar Tamri, says the Gemara. Do Rami Bar Dikuli. Rami Bar Tamri. Sometimes he's referred to Rami Bar Dikuli, a Tamar, a Dekel. Either way, in Pumpadisa, he was from Pumpadisa, Iklu Lusura. He came to Surah, but Mali Yom de Kippuri. It was Erev Yom Kippur. Afkinu Kuli Yamal Kachino. Now, Erev Yom Kippur, everybody's eating, right? It's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And they were shechting animals, and they took all their chals and they threw it away. Azal iyu. So Rami Bar Dikuli or Rami Bar Tamri, same person went. Noktenu, and he took them. Achlinu, and he ate them. I saw the kamed Rav Chizda. They brought him before Rav Chizda. Amalei, amai tavid hachi. So Rav Chizda asked this yid. He says, Why are you eating the chal? We don't eat chal in Surah. Amalei, so he told him, he asked Rabbi Yehuda, no. I live in Rabbi Yehuda's city. I'm from Pumpadisa, the achal. And where I come from, we eat it. Amalei, Rav Chizda told him, Lesloch noisim of Chumri, amakshi yatsim and sham. That if there's certain halachas that are totally minig, so even if you're from a city where the minig is, let's say, to be mekel, but if you go to another city where the minig is to be machmer, you're supposed to be machmer. Well, he told them, I ate it outside the city limits. Right? I didn't eat it inside the chaymais of the city. I walked outside the city, that's where I ate it. So he asked him, Rav Chizis, how did you prepare it? How did you roast it? So he told him, he said, I found pits of grapes. And I use those pits
to roast it. How do you know you're allowed to use those pits? Maybe it came from grapes that it was already after 12 months. Rashi quotes a mission of Yizar that says that these pits that are yavish, which means they're already 12 months old, there's no way to yayin esach anymore. At that point, you're allowed to eat it. Well, they're not yours. You can't just pick off pits from the ground. Maybe it was gzela. I knew already that the owners were miyayish. Because there was already things growing on it. So I knew for sure there's no way anybody was a miyayish. Then Reb Chisda observed this yid, Rama Bar Dikuli, and he told, saw that I have a monach tefillin. He wasn't wearing tefillin. My time is a monach tefillin. He said, so he told him, why are you wearing tefillin? He told him, he has issues with his stomach. And the Amr Rabbi Yehuda, and I heard from Rabbi Yehuda, you see, he came from Asri to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda is his Rabbi. So he told him, Chayla Mayan, put him in that tefillin. He said, I heard from Rabbi Yehuda that a Chayla Mayan is put him in that tefillin. Chazid like a Rami Chuti. Then he saw he wasn't wearing tzitzis. Amalais, he told him, my time is less like Chuti. He said, why are you wearing tzitzis? Amalais, he said, Talus Shulahi. It's not my talus, I borrowed it. From Rabbi Yehuda, and I have another sign from Rabbi Yehuda. Everything's from Rabbi Yehuda. He said, Talus Shula, call Shleishim Yayim Pturim in that tzitzis. He says, a Talus Shula every 30 days, for 30 days, you put him in that tzitzis. Adahachi, I Sula, who Gabalai Mikavu Vime. As this is happening, they brought a person who they brought him in front of Rav Chisda. Yid was not honoring his father. He wasn't being mekayem kabbadas avicha vesimecha. Kafsu, Rav Chisda started beating him. He started hitting him because the halach is that if someone doesn't mekayem a mitzvah saseh, so you can force him to amalu. So Rami by the kuli told him shifku. Don't. He's not supposed to hit him. The tanya kol mitzvah saseh shemat and schar betzida im bezin shol matu muzarin aleh. That any mitzvah where the Torah gives the schar, you're not let her go ahead and you're not let her force a person to do it and keep it of the aim. It says l'man yirichon yomecha. So it's matan schar betzida. If it's matan schar betzida, you can't do this. Amalei. Rav Chisda said chazino lach techarifa tuva. He said, you know what? I underestimated you. Meaning, till now, he was eating the kral when nobody ate the kral. He went ahead, he took pits that were maybe yayin nesach, that didn't even belong to him. He's not wearing tefillin, he's not wearing tzitzis, but he saw, he knew, I can't learn it. You know, Lamais, he knew the halacha, that kol mitzvah saseh. Exactly. He said, he knows the halacha. He said, kol mitzvah saseh, shabbat, tzchor mitzidah. So the halacha is that you're not let a force. So he says, wow, I see you're a big charif. Amalei, so he told him, have a ba'asid Rav Yehuda. He says, you think I'm a charif? He says, you know, now I'm not even home. If I would have been with my Rebbe, if you would see me talk and learning with my Rebbe, achvinu lachufoy, then you'll see what a charif I really am. Either way, we'll end on this note, exhale, read, but just a very interesting, so there's a lot here, obviously. I mean, you have lachas of tefillin, you have lachas of tzitzit, you have Yayin Nesach, you have Yish Bailim, of course, Chal, which is what we're talking about, but just one Ha'ara as it relates to this story, and then we'll go back to the beginning of the daf with Yalta, who was Rav Nachman's wife, and that is, the halacha is Talis She'ula Kol Shleishim Yayin Potman HaTzitzis. He said he wasn't wearing a talis, and he wasn't wearing tzitzis. He said the reason is because it's a Talis She'ula, because it's not my talis. Incidentally, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichas Musa said, you know, think about it for a second. Just, I mean, put the pieces of the story together. This Yid, Rami Bar Tamri, the who Rami Bar Dikuli. Think about what a poor person he was. So this is a Yid who's, he doesn't have his own talis. He has no food. He's literally taking the udders that the oilam is throwing away. He doesn't even have wood to make a fire. So he has to take pits that have things growing on it. There's mold, there's vegetation growing on it. That's how he knows that the Bailam Amiyayish. Nebuch, he's a Baal Yisurim, he's a Chayl Ma'ayim, he's Potter in a tefillin, and he comes in on Erev Yom Kippur, where there's a mitzvah to eat, and instead of knocking on somebody's door, I mean, Chassid Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, what would a person do? You knock on somebody's door, you know, Chben Ayid, Chim from Pumpadisa, and he says, you know, maybe you could, you know, Tatlovish, exactly. He says, maybe you can invite me in for an Erev Yom Kippur Suda. He says, why wouldn't he do it? So he says, because you find by Kadmoinim, they only wanted to be Nenim Yagia Kapam. And the Gemara says, Pshoit Nevilta Beshuka Val Yitzar Chalabrias. This is in a Sikh of Chaim Shmulevitz. He says, just think about this Yid, how Moise Nefesh he was. He just didn't want to have to come on to anybody. But either way, one of the things he said is that a talis she'ula kol shloishim yoyim is pturim min atzitzis. Says Toisis, very long Toisis, ha-foichba de kulaba, there's a line in this Toisis, tap Toisim kufyudam and beis, that Rabbi Tam said that's poshet, that if a talis she'ula is chayiv and tzitzis mida iraisa la'achar shloishim yoyim, you'd be chayiv and tzitzis right away. Talis she'ula kol shloishim yoyim p'turim and tzitzis, but after 30 days you'd be chayiv and tzitzis. Says Toisis, vice Toisis, mida iraisa, you always part them and tzitzis. It's just that the Rabbanan said, after 30 days, you should go ahead, after 30 days, you should already put on tzitzis.
Why is Atala Shula Patam and Atzitzis? Presumably, because it says Kisuscha in the parish of Tzitzis, and just like Lo Yeira Lecha Shalcha Yataraya Avalataraya Shalacherim, Kisuscha Yuksus is Chayim and Tzitzis, but if you're wearing somebody else's Kus, you're not Chayim and Tzitzis. But what's the difference between before Shloshim Yom Yach and Shloshim Yom? Why would the Chachamim say that after 30 days you should be Chayim and Tzitzis? So Rabbi Tam said a Gevalda Gezach. He says, we know Stam Halva Shloshim Yom. So if somebody lends somebody money and they don't make up when exactly this loan is going to come due. It's a stam halva, shleishim yoyim. 30 days, yes. For 30 days, you can't ask him for money. You have no right to go over to him and tell him, I loan you money, give it back to me. Now, you loan me the money, stam, we didn't make up a time, I get to keep it for 30 days. But after 30 days, the loan is already become due. Stam halva, shleishim yoyim, says Rabbeinu Tam, you can't deduct the stam sheila, shleishim yoyim. Stam sheila is also 30 days. And it's for that reason that being that stam sheila is shleishim yoyim, so the chachamim said, for 30 days, I'm not worried. Because being that deraisi in achayiv and tzitzis, and you borrowed it, and you know, up to 30 days, it doesn't look like anything other than the fact that you borrowed it. But after 30 days, we're stam sheila already would go back. So why are you wearing this beggar more than 30 days? Oh, it looks like it's yours. Being that it looks like it's yours, for that reason, you're going to be chai. Rabbeinu Tam was mechiach from all the things that you could take out of this sugya, literally, the kasha lai lefartam, all the things that you see here. But at the same time, says Rabbeinu Tam, I'll tell you another interesting thing. That even though stam she'el, that just like stam halva is shleishim yoyim, stam she'el is shleishim yoyim as well. But Tosfos says, I disagree with Rabbeinu Tam. He says, why? Because everyone knows the halacha. We discussed it a few times when we learned Masechtas Menachos and other times as well. And that is, if somebody rents a house, so the halacha is for 30 days, you don't have to put on a mezuzah. After 30 days, you do have to put on a mezuzah. What's the reason? So the reason is, this idea. So says Tosfos, are you going to tell me that it's related to Stam Schiris being Shloshim Yom? No one's going to say Stam Schiris Shloshim Yom. Stam She'ela, maybe, because She'ela and Ava are very similar. But Schiris, for sure, there's no halach of Stam Schiris Shloshim Yom. Elamai, the Chachamim said, for 30 days you pot, after 30 days you chayv. So it could be Stam She'ela is not Shloshim Yom. Stam She'ela is whatever. But at the same time, as it relates to this particular halacha, the halacha is going to be that it 30 days, your potter, after 30 days, already going to be chayv. Then Tosfos says something else, that Rabbeinu Tam was moisif. Rabbeinu Tam said that even though if somebody borrows somebody else's talus, so for 30 days, your potter and tzitzis, but after 30 days, you chayv and tzitzis, but you don't make a bracha after 30 days. So even after 30 days, you don't make a bracha. And then Rabbeinu Tam says that even though Eilishi Tossi hold, that women who are potter for mitzvah seishas man geroma, if they do a mitzvah seishas man geroma, they make a bracha. Not like the Rambam Shita, which is why the Ashkenazim will follow Rabbeinu Tam. The women who do mitzvah seishas man geroma, they sit in a sukkah, they make a leisha basukkah. The Sfardim that follow the Rambam Shita is not supposed to make a bracha. But at the same time, says Rabbeinu Tam, even though I hold that an isha potter from doing a mitzvah makes a bracha on a mitzvah seishas man geroma, but over here, even lachas shloishim yom, you're not going to make the bracha. Why? He says because a woman, even though she's potter from doing a mitzvah seishas man geroma, but men are chayiv. So being that some people are chayiv, that's enough to say that if a woman does it, she gets a kiyum mitzvah, and she even has to make a bracha. But a talish shul, everybody's potter. So I mean that everybody's potter. So for that reason, says Rabbeinu Tam, you don't make a bracha. So it sounds like from here, that if you would borrow somebody's tzitzis, or maybe a little bit more common, if you'd borrow somebody's talis, you wouldn't make a bracha. Because the talis she'ula, and Rabbeinu Tam says, that even though la'achas shloishim yoyim yichayim and tzitzis, but you never make a bracha. Being that you're potter from tzitzis, kesuscha, midei raisa, even la'achas shloishim yoyim, it's only midrabbana, Rabbeinu Tam said, because stam she'ila shloishim yoyim, pesargis, whatever. But as far as making a bracha goes, you never make a bracha. Stating that, that's not the halacha. The halacha is that if you borrow somebody's talis, you do make a bracha. What's the pshat? So it's based on something that the Rishonim speak out in this sugya, and that is that this halacha of talis she'ula kol shloishim yoyim p'turim minat tzitzis, that is if you borrow a talis that has no tzitzis on it. So you borrow a talis that is a beged shel dalet kanfo, there's no tzitzis on the corners of the beged. So if no tzitzis on the corner of the beged, so there the halacha is that you put them in a tzitzis, and even if you put tzitzis on it, even lacha shloishim yoyim, you're still not going to make a bracha. If, however, you borrow a talis that has tzitzis on it, there you're supposed to make a bracha. And that halacha is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Erechayim Simon Yud Dalit and Hilchas Tzitzis Siv Katan Gimel Hashoyel Mechadei Retalish Enim Mitzuyetzes Potem Elahadabat Tzitzis Kol Amid Yoyim Dich Siv Ksuscha V'loy Shal Acherim Aval La'achal Amid Yoyim Chayim Midrabanon Ibnei Shenirish Shikaloi. Then the Mechaber says Shoh Lo Kishi Mitzuyetzes, if you buy a talis that has tzitzis on it, Mevorech Aleo Miyad, so then you make a bracha, you Mevorech Aleo Miyad, not only La'achar Shloishim Yoyim. Mish Bruce speaks out that as it relates to the talis of a kohol, let's say a tzibur, a shul has a talis, and you want to use the shul's talis, there it's pashut that you're supposed to go ahead and you're supposed to make a bracha. Mishmur gives a reason, the bir halacha, there's a whole arichas,
is a mitzvah sriches kavod. Festus sugyas over here. But either way, so this sugya of talis shula called shloishim yoyim ptura, that's if you borrowed a talis that has no tzitzis on it, which is very uncommon. If, however, you're going to borrow a talis that has tzitzis on it, so there the hal, it's not our gemara. It's not, it's so much so, it's not our gemara, that of course there's tzitzis on it. It's not a question of yichayim and tzitzis or not, but where it's nafgavina, where it plays itself out, is the afternoon gebracha, and you mevarech alea miyad. Either way, that's just one ha'ara to take away from this gemara over here with Rama bar Tamri, the who Rami bar Dikuli. But either way, the gemara began with a very interesting exchange between Yalta and Rav Nachman. See, Yalta was Rav Nachman's wife, and Yalta told Rav Nachman, Mechti, kol da aslan rachmana sharlan kavase. Everything that the Torah said is also, the Torah was also matis. So every single thing that you're not allowed to do, if you want to find it, b'ofen heter, you can find that it's possible, meaning we're not missing anything by the fact that we keep Torah mitzvahs. Because every davar asr that there is, you can actually find a davar mutter. And he went on to list the whole list. It's interesting that Tosfos Dibra Maskil Nidor Dam Toyer quotes from Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir, who discussed in his Yotzris, in Parshas Parah, this idea. It's in, so Parshas Parah coming up, this is in Yonah Diyema, we're in Yotzer season now. So he says as follows, Moitzi mizolois yukarois, matir me asurois mutarois. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was matir from asurois mutarois, nois and mitmeis tohiris. And he goes on to explain, this is in Yotzeris of Parshas Parah, Shachris. Min hachelev, from the Issa chelev, you have shemen halev. Min hadam, you have the tchol hadam. Mi basav cholov, you have tchal hacholov. That's today's daf. Mi kile begodim, you have tcheles besadim. So you have kalayim, but at the same time you have sadim and tzitzis, which is okay. Mi ishes ach, you have yibum ach. Mi ishes ish, you fast toil ish. Mi tumas nidas isha, toharas besule isha. Mi heter isir, mi isir heter. What's interesting is, so Tosfos quotes Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir, it just bothered me. Tosfos refers to him as Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir. And there's no little aleph beis, gimel dal, no aleph beis next to it. So is it Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir? It's not Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir, it's actually Rabbi Lozer HaKalir. But parenthetical. In fact, so who was Rabbi Loza HaKalir? Again, this is the season now. This is Yotzer season. So who was Rabbi Loza HaKalir? Tosfos Maseches Chagiga Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph says that it was none other than the Tana Rabbi Loza Rav Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's son, Rabbi Loza Rav Shimon, he was the Kalir. Rabbi Loza HaKalir wasn't a Rishon. It was an Akadmoin. He's the Tana Elikim, Rabbi Loza Rav Shimon. There's a tshuva from the Rashba where the Rashba says that it was Rabbi Loza ben Aruch. Just had in the daf last week, Mitzvah Lishmaya, Divri Rabbi Loza ben Aruch. The Rashba says in the tshuva that it's the Tana Rabbi Loza ben Aruch. It's Yidua that Eben Ezra, in his Pirush on Kehelet, spoke very sharp about the Kalir. He said there's a lot of grammatical mistakes, and he spoke very, very sharp. And there's a letter that we've quoted in the daf from Kivegur. Rabbi Kivegur wrote also very uncharacteristically, Sharf Keneged Eben Ezra, who spoke sharp Keneged the Kalir, and he says, how can we be mezalzel in these piyutim and in these yoitzeres? At the end of the day, who's the author? It's Rabbi Loza HaKalir that the Bali Tosfos and the Rashba said is either Rabbi Loza ben Aruch or it's Rabbi Loza Rabbi Shimon. The Tshuva Me'ahava, Rabbi Loza, not Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Loza Fleckless in his Simen Aleph, Chelek Aleph Simen Aleph, the very first Tshuva in Tshuva Me'ahava, he has a whole Arichus. It's a pilpul nifla with bekiyos and charifus. It's mamish kedai to see inside. Where he brings us Eben Ezra and he's mafalful and he has rayas that Rabbi Loza HaKalir from different things that he said was Rabbi Loza ben Aruch based on different memories and stories and shas. Either way, it's a fascinating shmuz. But regardless, Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir or is it Rabbi Loza HaKalir? But the story itself, so what happened? So Yalta told Rav Nachman that everything that the Torah asked is mutter. So the one that's most interesting is he said that the Torah said that a chazer is aser, but if you want to know what chazer tastes like, there's a way to know what chazer tastes like. Eat the mecha de shibuta, eat the brain of this fish that's called the shibuta. And by eating that, you'll be able to know what the chazer tastes like. The Chidah in his Pesach Inayim, on this Gemara right here, in the Sechtes Chulin says, Mikan, from this Gemara, he shafti lenichvad gvir echad. So there was a bakovad gvir that came to him, and he cleared a shayla. And the Chidah said, I was able to be poishet a shayla from this Gemara. What was a shayla? He says, we know that the man tasted like whatever you wanted it to taste like. So when you ate man, if you wanted it to taste like meat, it tastes like meat. You wanted it to taste like coffee, it tasted like coffee. You wanted it to taste like whatever you wanted the man to taste like, that's what, very good, that's what it tasted like. So this gvir came to the chidah, he said, I want to ask you a question. Let's say somebody was eating the man, and he had in mind that it should taste like chazer. And then he ate it. Was he over the Issachazer? Let's say a person was eating the money, had a mind, it should taste like a cheeseburger, boss of a chalav. And then he ate it. Was he over the Issa, boss of a chalav? Said the chida, it's a great shayla. Wow. So somebody's eating the money, has a mind that it should take like a tava asa, and then he eats it. Is he over the Issa, machal sasuris? So he said, from this Gemara, I was poshed at him that it's a tava pasha, it's okay. He says, why? Because what would be the reason you would say it's asa? Because you're eating something that tastes like chazer. He says, but you see in this Gemara that chazer is not a taste that's inherently asa. Because the same Chazer is also the Meicha de Shibuta. I saw a tshuva from the Chabina Rav. I didn't have a chance to really go through it. But he discusses whether if somebody would cook Chazer with Meicha de Shibuta, would it be a Taruvis Mimimina? Would it be a Taruvis Mimimina? It tastes exactly the same. So being that it tastes the same, that it could be a Taruvis Mimimina, that if it's Nishbach, you have a Sofik Shishim, you can go Lahaka because it's a Sveikid Rabban Alakula. But either way, said the Chida, I see from this Gemara that it's not something that's inherent, and every Dabar Asa has it in its Adam Mutter. So I don't know what all the other things are, but the bottom line is said the it's pashit from this Gemara that if somebody would eat the man and he would have a mind that it should taste like machalas asuras, it'd be okay. You wouldn't be over any sort of stating that, I don't think it's so pashit. And why is that? Because there's a pasuk in Parashat Shlach, in the Parashat Haman. So the pasuk says like this: Vayomer aleihem, Hu asher diber Hashem Shabbosin Shabbos Kodesh Lashem Machar. So it was Erev Shabbos Kodesh, and Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Yidden, he says, Rabbosai, today you're going to get man, but you're going to get two times man. Lechemishna, right? That's what we have a mitzvah lechemishna. And he told them, that if you want to bake the man, you have to bake it today on Friday. And if you want to cook the man, you have to cook it today. Right, Rashi says, he says, if you want to bake it, you have to cook it today. Why? Because tomorrow is Shabbos. I mean that tomorrow is Shabbos, it's not going to be okay. This is a pasuk and a Rashi ala Torah and Parshas Beshala. In the Parshas Haman, the Chida in his Sefer Pnei David brings a kasha that he saw from the Rash Primoy Zatzal. So this is a kasha from Kadmoin. His kasha was that in Parshas Baloichsra, that's the other Parshas Haman. So the Torah over there talks about the man as well, and the Torah says Shatu Am Velaktu, that the Am, they went and they collected the man, they gathered it, V'tachnu Berichayim, and they grinded it, Oidachu B'medoichu U'bishlu, they cooked it and they baked it, V'yitamay Kedad L'shadashamim. It tasted like whatever you wanted it to taste like. Zok Rashi, V'tachnu Berichayim Lo Yared Berichayim, that the man, even though the pasuk says that they would grind, it never actually went into a Rechayim. Even though the pasuk says they cooked it, it never went into a kedera. They never pressed it. Ela mishtana hayatama. It was all time. If you wanted it to taste cooked, it tastes cooked. If you wanted it to taste pressed, it tastes pressed. But everything was based on what you want. So the Rash Primoy asked, he said, Gevalt, what if it was never cooked and if it was never baked? Vazok Rashi. It's a pasuk really in Parashas B'Shalach. The Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Yidden that Shabbos Kodesh Lashem. Tomorrow's going to be Shabbos. Is Asha Toif if you want to bake it? Hey, you got to bake it today. Is Asha Tavash if you want to cook it? Bashelu, you have to cook it today. Why? Because tomorrow's Shabbos. And tomorrow, they never cooked it. It never went into it. It was all b'machshava. So if it was all b'machshava, what was the big deal? B'machshava? What's the problem if you do something b'machshava? So he brings, does the chida, that the Rashmi Pramo proves from here, that you see from here that if a person does a melacha, afilu b'machshava, if you do a melacha, afilu b'machshava, the halacha is, it's considered a melacha. And being that they were taka cooking it by machshava, doesn't matter. But being that it was all done by machshava, that was enough for it to constitute a malacha. And that's how you reconcile two rashis ala Torah. Mamash psukhi ala Torah. On the one hand, they weren't allowed to cook it on Shabbos, but then again, they never cooked it. So if the whole thing was done by machshava, what's the big deal? She said, you see, from here, that's not even machshava is going to be a problem. Rav Hersh Pesach, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Rabbi of Yerushalayim, in Eirach Chaim Simon, Kuf Ayin Dalet, has a tshuva. Listen to the shayla, somebody asked him. Uvda hava, b'mishe yesh le kelev. There's somebody who has a dog in his house. Ma'uman. But he's a trained dog. Umelumid gam lekiboy nerach hashmal. So this dog, he was trained to the T. So he even knows how to turn the lights on and off. Shabala kelev roimiz loy, the owner of the kelev, right? The bala kelev. He's beramiz. Yeah, he's roimiz to him. Uleichet beragloy ala kaftor. Hanitzmad leha shelto lehiridoy ala haloysa. G'day lehadugel lehaboysa. So all he has to do is a little wink wink. And by him being beramiz, right? He goes like a little... The dog jumps up. He reads the... Yeah, exactly. And he knows how to turn the lights on or off. See, here's the question. So said Rav Tzvi Pesach, the question was brought to me. Is it okay to do it on Shabbos? He said, the lafum riyat, though, at first glance,
Asiyas Malacha B'Yadayim. You're not really doing a Malacha. Ela Grama Ba'alma. All it is, I mean, this is Grama, it's not Amir Lakim, it's Amir Lekelef. So it's not even Amira. This is all B'machshava. This is all B'ramisa. So it's a Grama. Ukid Amirah B'Shabbos. The Gemara said Masech Shabbos. Lo Yisasa Malacha. Asiyah Huda Asar Grama Shari. Shabbos Kuf Chav Amid Beis. The Efshet is a kill me Grama. Then come Maisa Klau. Grum is always the pshat. You do a maisa, right? And that maisa causes a trigger. Grum, a garmi, right? All the nuances. He didn't do anything. This is like kemat b'machshava. That's all it is. Zok Rav Tzvi Pesach. This is the friend. He wrote a whole tshuva on this. The inkam and koyma. But this is how he starts his tshuva. Ach, haloim ro'isi l'marash fri moizal. Huva dvarav. In a sefer, I think that's one of the chidosu. I'm shakasa b'inyan haman. Shayin nishtam etam v'chulu. And he brings this marash fri moiz l'halacha that you see from here that if somebody doesn't melocha yidei machshava with regards to hilcha Shabbos, it's a problem. Because otherwise, why would the yidden not let her cook them on? They weren't cooking it anyways. It was all b'machshava. So again, this is a whole discussion. He gets into shvisus behema and grumba. Shabbos, which is a Magen Avram, Kiyotu, Vadvar Matikin. But it's just a fascinating thing. Another thing, parenthetically, that comes out from this Shmuz. So there's a sefer called Heir Yosef. Heir Yosef was written by Reb Yosef Aryeh Lawrence. He was Reb Shlomo Lawrence, the famous Chavra Knesset's son. So Reb Yosef Aryeh Lawrence, Sefer Heir Yosef, it's on Reb Kiva Eger, it's on different Mesechtes. So this particular volume is on the Lamites Malachas on Shabbos. Real, real lovelish Sefer. So in the introduction to the Sefer, he brings that he sent certain Shilas when he went through in the things that he discussed in the Sefer. He sent certain Shilas to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. So one of the Shilas he asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky. He was like this. B'sefer Pnei David Arava Chida B'parshas B'shalach Hiksha. He brings this Pnei David that we just spoke out, where the Chida brings this Kasha from the Marash Primoy, who asked that what was the problem to cook them on Shabbat? They didn't cook it anyways. The whole thing was b'machshava. So he said, you see, for me that cooking b'machshava is going to be a problem. But he asked from a Gemara Masechtes Shabbos Daf Lamites, where the Gemara says that if someone cooks on Shabbos b'chami Tveria, hamavashel b'chami Tveria Potter. There's no problem. Or if somebody would cook in the sun, it's so hot outside that he takes a raw egg and it starts cooking outside. So the halacha is going to be potter. With the chametz mutar lechatchila, mevashel lechamit feri is awesome. But the point is, midiraisa is fishel not bishel. And the reason is, because when it says in the Torah that bishel is aser, it means it has to be told asar. You have to cook all day fire. But if you're not cooking with fire, so then the halacha is not going to be bishel. So he asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he says, I don't understand. Barash Primo said that if you would have cooked on Shabbos, bit machshava, with the man, you would have been over this bishel. The chayra, this is all on the diraisa level, right? Obviously, we're handling bishel diraisa. It's not told asar. So he said, if it's not told the story, why would it be Bishol? Gevaldige kasha, tshuva. This is Reb Chaim Kanievsky wrote back. B'sefer Moishev Skeinim Mibali Atoisvis Parshas Bal Loischa Kosav Kein Ayin Shom. It's not only the Marash Frima Reb Chaim told him, but this is already the Bali Toisvis already said this chiddush, and then he wrote in parentheses. This is all Reb Chaim. V'kosavti b'zeh b'derech hamuna hilcha shmita ke'es b'tfus be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach. U'mashe heyem mitold eschama as it relates to your kasha. Shom ein derech afiyosoy bekach mashe ein kein b'man. What was Reb Chaim's terror? Reb Chaim said, Gevaldik. What pshat it has to be told us on? There's a din, that bishul deraisas, fire. What does that mean? What it means is that on Shabbos, you're only chayiv if meleches machsheves as retire. If you do it in the way that you're supposed to do it. He says, today, people cook with fire. Nobody cooks in the chamit feria. Nobody scrambles their eggs, you know, outside when it's a hot day. And as a result, it's not derech bishul. So if it's not derech bishul, that's not going to be the bishul that the Torah is going to be chayiv. But when the yidden were in the midbar, derech bishul was with machsheva. So being that was the derech bishul, so it's poshit, said Reb Chaim, that that's going to be a bishul deraisa. Either way, again, there's so much here, so many layers as it relates to the Pnei David. But l'chayru one ha'ara, and that is that if when someone had a machshava, that the man should taste like basar. So the man remained the man, it just tasted like basar. Or if someone had in mind that the man should taste like challah, so the man remained the man, it just tasted like challah. So that would mean, just think about it, that if someone had in mind that the man should taste cooked, nothing changed in the man, it just tasted cooked. If that's what happened, then what's the problem to do this on Shabbos? There's a problem to make something taste cooked on Shabbos? If someone had a machshava that the man should taste cooked, what happened? The man cooked, that's it. Now all of a sudden you had a medium rear steak, that's what happened? Or no, the man looked like the man, vukizer, whatever the Torah describes it as, that's what it looked like. Just when you tasted it, it tasted that way. If that's the case, then why are we even having this conversation? You didn't cook anything. It had a tam bishul. It had a tambishel. No one said you're not allowed to eat the man on Shabbos. You can eat the man on Shabbos and make it taste like raw meat. No one has a problem with that. The issue is, bishel, you're cooking. Bishel's one of the Lamatas Malachis. That's the issue. Look, what's the issue? It was never cooked. It just tasted cooked. What did you do? You know what it sounds like from this Pnei David? You know what it sounds like from this Marash Prima, from this whole Shmuz? That when a person ate the man and he had a mind that it should taste cooked, that what happened was, it didn't just taste cooked, it actually cooked. Being that it cooked, you were mevashel on Shabbos. Now yesh lachker. If someone's mevashel on Shabbos, like they machshava, is it bishul or is it not bishul? So what's the shiloh? It's grama. That's one shiloh. Refer Pesach. Then you can dan that maybe it's toldus chama. It's not toldus zar. It is the derech of Kanyevsky. But the point is, now we can sit and we can have a conversation. Geshmak shmuz. If you're cooking all day machshava, right? Another shiloh is if someone's mevashel, if someone doesn't malacha derech schooling. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Yud Bei Sifrei Torah on Shabbos, the Rosh is Kashi. If Moshe Rabbeinu was nifta on Shabbos, that's why we say Tzidkas on Shabbos, Tzidik HaDin on Shabbos, because Moshe Rabbeinu was nifta on Shabbos. It says he wrote Yud Bei Sifrei Torah, so he did it Bashpas Kumas. All this ray that Bashpas Kumas, maybe it's not us, because you only do it with us. That's another thing you can discuss when it, as it relates to having a machshava, but that's all if you're actually cooking the man. If the man is cooking, but if the man is remaining the way it is, it just tastes cooked, then L'chayra, what's the problem? So Zeyim Mashma Gevein, from this Pnei David and this Marash Primoy and this whole Arichos in the Achroinim, that when someone had a machshava that the mud should taste a certain way, the physical nature of the mud actually changed. It cooked. Now you have cooked mud. So if you have cooked mud, now you cooked mud, then it's good. Problem is, if that's the case, how does it stay with our chida? We started the shmuz with a chida on the Pesachinayim. Where the chida said that what would be, he said, this gvir, this nichba came to him and he asked him a festive shayla. He wanted to know that if somebody had a machshava that the mud should taste like macholos asur, and then he eat it. Is he over this macholos asur, says he not? She said, what should be the problem? Because it tastes like macholos asur. If something tastes like macholos asur, maybe it's the shibuta. How do you know it's the chazer? Maybe it's the meicha de shibuta. That's all. If it didn't change physically, it just tasted a certain way. So you're right, the Chidah was able to prove from Chulin Koftasam and Beis that taste is not something that's inherently awesome. All right, because for everything that has a time of Issa, you have the corresponding time of Atta. But if the way that the man worked is that it physically changed, if it physically changed, then now it's a Shtikhazer. If it's a Shtikhazer, then why shouldn't you be over? Then it would make sense, maybe they should be. In other words, Yesh Lachker. We know the man tasted like whatever you wanted it to taste like. Somebody ate man. How did it work? Is the Pshad, you had a mind that it should taste like a rib steak. It became a rib steak. Now you're sitting with a rib steak in front of you. Or that was what it was, what it was. It was just a question of taste. If it physically changed Ayudei Machshava, then we understand the Pnei David. If it didn't physically change, then we understand the Pesach Inayim. There would seem to be a little bit of a steer over here in the Chidah. Either way, a fascinating question. If somebody ate the man and he had a Machshava that it should taste like Macholos Asuris, then he ate it. Was he over the Issa Macholos Asuris, or was he not over the Issa Macholos Asuris? Just to end on one Ha'ara. So the Gemara here says that if somebody wants to know what Chayalta told Rav Nachman, I know that if I want to taste the chazer, so there's a way to eat chazer. How? The meicha de shibuta. The meicha de shibuta is a shtik chazer. The truth is, on the topic of Jews eating chazer, there's a fascinating medrash on the pasuk the Esa Chazir. The pasuk says that lo benikrish my chazer. Why is the chazer called the chazer? The reason is she'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'hachzira. Because even though right now the chazer is aser, but there's going to be a time that the chazer is going to be mutter. So there's going to be a time where we will be able to eat the chazer. It's interesting that the Chasam Sofer, in his Teres Moshe, in Parsha Shminis, he brings this medrash, and he brings a Geshmak Akasha that he heard from Hagoyen HaGadol, Rab Abba Zatzal of Bezdin, the Frankfurt of Mine. So I think he means Rab Abishol, who was the famous Rav of Frankfurt of Mine. But either way, he brings this Kasha that he heard from Rab Abba Zatzal of Bezdin, the Frankfurt of Mine. And that is, we know that Loch is, that a Dover Sheyeshloi Matirim doesn't become bottle. So if you have something that's Aser, and it's a Sarav in the Taruvahs, we all learn the sugyas of Basav Chol of Taruvahs now, so if it's a Sarav in the Taruvah, it's the Loch, it doesn't become bottle shishim. Why? Because it's going to be mutter anyways. And Acha Teichlenu Be'is, Teichlenu Be'hender. So for that reason, any Dover Sheyeshloi Matirim, the Loch is, doesn't become bottle b'shishim. The Bach quotes an Urzarua, where the Urzarua discussed that let's say somebody has a piece of meat where there's a shayla in halacha whether you could eat it or you can't eat it. And the halacha is teku. Tishbi yitaritz kushyas vahabayas. That's the halacha. The halacha is teku. And then it's nisara vidataruvas. So do you say that it's mutter ayidei bittul or not?
What's the tzadnat? Because being that Tishbi Yitaretz Kushes V'Aboyes, so it's possible that your Novi is going to come, he's going to tell you it's mutter. On the tzad that it's mutter, now it's a Dovah She'esh L'Atirim. So if it's a Dovah She'esh L'Atirim, maybe it shouldn't be bottled. It's an Erzeruah. The Bach brings it in Yeriteh, a Hafluvel, in Simen Kuf Beis. He brings, if you have a Chatichas Basar that has on it a Din Teiku, and that was Nesarim, and the Taruvah, so do you say Bittul, or do you not say Bittul? Again, why not? Because being that Eliyahu Navi may be Matarit, so maybe you have to look at it as a Suffolk, Dovah She'esh L'Matirim, Ancha Techlenu, Bezat Techlenu Behetar, so maybe Bechai Gavno, you're not going to have a Loch. He says there's a Ruah, a Gevaldig Asfara. He says, Dovah She'esh L'Matirim means something that's for sure Usser, now, that's going to become mutter. So what's a classic example of a Dovah She'esh L'Matirim? Beish and Yontif is Asr on Yontif. So Beish and Yontif is Asr on Yontif. But after Yontif, it's going to be Muktza. Muktza is Asr today, but tomorrow it's going to be mutter. So right now it's Asr, but actually Techlenu Beisr, Techlenu Beheti. You can't wait until Chol Moed, you wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow it's going to be mutter already. You'll be able to eat it then, you have nothing to worry about. That's a classic example, meaning the Isr that you have today will no longer be there tomorrow. But in this case, but you have a Chatichas Bas, we have a suffix. You're not sure if it's mutter or if it's aser. So what are you going to tell me that Tishbi Yitaretz Kushes V'Abayis? So Eliyahu Navi's going to come, he's going to be matter. If Eliyahu Navi's matter, what's going to be the pshat? He's going to say it was always mutter. He's going to say Goy Muslim afraid that it was never us. That's not Dovah She'esh L'Matirim. Dovah She'esh L'Matirim is the pshat, this iser that's going to become mutter. On the tzad heter in the teiku, it's not the pshat it was aser that became mutter. The pshat is it was never aser. I mean that it was never aser. Lo yalzeh nemra the halacha of Dovah She'esh L'Matirim. Said Rav Abishol, but I took out from this Urzarua Gevaldig Zach that the fact that Eliyahu HaNavi would be matter something, the fact that something's going to be mutter lassod lavi is enough to make something a Dovah She'esh L'Matirim. It's just the pshat that by every teiku it's not a Dovah She'esh L'Matirim because of the longness of Dovah She'esh L'Matirim. Because Dovah She'esh L'Matirim means it's asa that becomes mutter. Over here, if Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be matter, it's going to be Gloy Muslim Afrei that was never asa. But that in and of itself, that Eliyahu HaNavi can come b'mehira b'yameinu and say that this is mutter, that's enough to render it a Dovah She'esh L'Matirim. So based on this hanacha, that really is tucked away in the Urzaruah. Said Rabbi Abishal, I have a kasha. Chazal say, why is the chazer called a chazer? Because one day, Lassad Lavi, the chazer is going to be kosher. Chazer is for sure not kosher today. One day it's going to be kosher. If that's the case, it's a Dovah She'esh L'Matirim. If it's a Dovah She'esh L'Matirim, his kasha was, the lechari should be not bottle. And lo shamanu v'lo ro'inu, no one ever heard such a chiddish, that a chazer, everyone should be viewed as a Dovah She'esh L'Matirim based on the fact that also HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Achzira says the Chassam Sofer, Pshat says that I think the whole kasha is based on the toys. He says it's true, the chazer one day is going to be mutter, but you know what the gedder of the chazer one day being mutter is? The gedder is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make the chazer a kosher animal, meaning right now the chazer is mafreses parsa, but it's not maligera, right? There are four animals that have one of the two simonim. You have the gomel and the shofan and the arneves. They're all maligera, but they don't have mafreses parasa. The chaz is just the opposite. He's mafreses parasa, but he's not a maligera. Said the chassam sofer, when Mashiach's going to come, he's going to be a maligera. And being that he's going to be a maligera, he's going to have all the kosher simonim, and Mele is going to be a kosher animal. He said, it's not the pshat that the Eibush is going to take, mamish, the lumdus of how the chaz is going to be kosher. He's going to take the chazer that's not maligera, that doesn't have two kosher simonim, and say, Afal Pika and it's kosher. No, the gather is that it's going to have two kosher simonim. Oh, if the gather is it's going to have two kosher simonim, it doesn't affect this chazer. This chazer that Alamos and a chazer. He says it's the new chazer, the chazer that's going to be maligera, that's going to chew its cut. Oh, that chazer, different chazer. That chazer is, we don't have. The chazer we have today will never be mutter, thus it's not a Dovah She'esh L'Matirim. But then the Chassam Sofer says that the truth is that even though the Medrash says that the chazer one day is going to be mutter, but really the real oimek, the real oimek in the Medrash is something else. And that is that we know the Svar Makdoshim say that the four animals that the Torah lists as the non-kosher animals, the Gomel and the Shafan and the Arneves and the Chazer, they all represent the four nations. They all represent the four nations that took the Yidden into Golas. And the Chazer is the fourth one that's mentioned, and it's connected to the fourth Golas. That's the Golas that we're in today. That's Golas Edoim. And he says the real oimek of Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Achzira is that Edoim is going to do tshuva. Edoim is going to come around. And the same Edom, the Romans that destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, and the Neitrim that gave the Yidden such tsaras for 2,000 years with pogroms, and whether it was the Crusades or the Spanish Inquisition or the Holocaust, and all these different tsaras that we got, Osed HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachziro, Shalo Osed Yishapchu Kolo Umois V'yoidu L'shmei Agadol. That's what it means. It means that they, the same ones that were giving us all these tsaras, says the real Oymek is, it's going to be the Nahapachu LaYehudim, that the same people that gave us the tsaras, they're going to come around, Osed HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachziro. They themselves are going to have a change of heart. The Rebbeinu B'chaya talks about this in Parshas Shmini as well, and he says that Edom is going to be the ones that are going to give us Rishus to build the Beis HaMikdash. This is already told in all the raid of the Drisha Siyan and Rav Tzvi Eresh Kalischer, the Radak raid that we spoke about when we learned Masechet Zvachim.